Why? What's Seviv and Makif? It's a good question, but it's not for now. There's a subtle distinction, but it's not for now. You want to know what's Seviv and Makif, which is superfluous. It's a good question. He adds, any influence of a concealed nature is referred to as encircling from above. Not just encircling, but from above. Why? Because Almadis Kasya, the hidden world, is on a higher plane than Almadis Galya, the revealed world. And since this energy is an Almadis Kasya energy, it's a hidden energy, and a hidden energy is always on a higher level, it's more transcendental, it's more godly than a revealed energy. That's the axiom in Chassidus. So therefore, we don't only say this light encircles the world, we say this light encircles the world from above. It's not from above, it's from within. But demonstrating the nature of the concealment, we use two terms. It circles it and encircles it from above. Taking a person's life, thought and speech. Thought is much closer to your soul and reflects much more of your identity than words. We all know that the deepest elements and needs and most intimate parts of our life, we don't easily discuss in words. We may think about it, we may feel it, but you don't easily talk about it. People talk about the stock market, as you said, Wall Street, or sports, or the weather, or politics, much easier than when it comes to deeper issues. Although, apparently, it should be the other way around. Something that's really connected to you, you should comfortably be able to talk about. But the answer is that the instruments of speech, which are the instruments of revelation, are not vessels for such a type of light. And therefore, the human race from its inception invented new types of instruments for expression that should serve as receptacles for deeper energies. For example, we invented the instrument of poetry. What's wrong with just regular talking? But poetry has a power to it. We invented the instrument of a song. It expresses a deeper energy. Or even the instrument of silence. Sound of silence, huh?
Art,
of course. And so on and so forth. The Alter Rebbe explained this, if you remember, in chapter 26. I don't want to get into it. He discussed about, do you remember what he spoke there about this concept? This was the first time in Tanya he mentioned it, about negative experiences that a person experiences in life. Gemara says that a person ought to accept them with joy. The Rebbe said, how is it possible? He says, you have to understand everything comes from Hashem. Some things come from Almadis Galya, and something comes from Almadis Kasya. Things that come from the revealed energy of Hashem, the energy that's limited, they project themselves within our identity in a very positive and blessed way. When Hashem chooses, for whatever reason, to share with us a deeper part of his self, his more concealed self, when it's translated into our world, it's assumed and perceived as bad, as evil, as destructive. Because it shatters the patterns that our world constructs. It cannot be experienced within our vessels and appreciate it for what it really is. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. The Elyon comes B'Seser. But that's a separate subject, but it has to do with this. It's from that light. When Hashem shares with us that light, He's sharing with us a part that transcends the identity of the world. And therefore, within our identity, it's translated as destruction, as horrible, as evil. That was in chapter 26. Okay, but now let's finalize here. I want to learn another little piece here. Actually, we'll conclude here. We'll conclude here. He now begins a new piece. Now the Alter Rebbe begins explaining what he means, trying to explain to us this paradox of Eir Ein Sof and its implications. We will continue with this, God willing, in 2 weeks, the week after Shavuos. Since next Sunday night is Shavuos, I want to conclude with an idea connected to Shavuos. It also reflects some of the ideas that Alter Rebbe was conveying in the chapters that led up to this chapter and to one idea of this chapter as well. The Gemara tells a story in Mesichta Menachos Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis. A very perplexing story. Zog de Gemara B'Shah Sha'ala Moshe Lamar. When Moshe went up to heaven, after we, the Jewish people, received the Torah on the day of Shavuos, after the revelation at Sinai, Moshe went up to heaven. So the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu saw how Hashem is sitting in his kosher ksarim, he's forming crowns on the letters of the Sefer Torah. We all know in a Torah scroll there are 7 letters, Shatnez, Getz, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadik, that are written by the scribe with little crowns above those letters. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem sitting and forming those crowns above the letters. So Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, what's the purpose of these crowns? So Hashem told him that after many, many generations, there will be a human being, Akiva ben Yosef Shmai, his name is Akiva, the son of Yosef, and he will derive tilei tilim, mountains upon mountains of halachas, from each kites, from each thorn, from each crown of the letters of the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Akiva, who was the master teacher of Torah Shebaal Peh, the one responsible for the oral, for the transmission of the oral tradition in the generation after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Akiva lived in the 2nd century after the Common Era and was one of the 10 martyrs executed by the Roman Empire in the century after Churban by Yisheni, the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. He will teach and discover meaning and significance, halachic significance, in every crown on every letter of the Sefer, on every letter that has a crown on the Sefer Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem and says, show him to me. So Hashem tells Moshe, Chazor Bach, turn around. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and he finds himself in a different environment. He finds himself in a yeshiva during a lecture, a class of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, there are various opinions. The Gemara says, one of the opinions is Rabbi Akiva sat down in the 18th row. Moshe Rabbeinu sat down in the 18th row. The students that were situated in the 18th row from where Rabbi Akiva was standing at the bima at the pulpit. And Moshe Rabbeinu was listening to Rabbi Akiva's lecture. You can imagine the scene. Rabbi Akiva is talking. It's hard to believe, but the Gemara says, Lo hayo yodeya mahem oimrim. Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. He couldn't get it. Zog the Gemara, Toshash Kaichli. Moshe felt weak. Moshe felt poor. Moshe lost his strength. He lost his power, so to speak. But then something happened. And this event transformed Moshe's condition, Moshe's mood. in middle of the lecture, as the lecture continued, Rabbi Akiva said a statement, and he conveyed an idea. And one of the students said, Rabbi Minayin Loch. Rabbi, how do you know this? What's the source for this? And Rabbi Akiva said, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. This is a tradition we received from Moshe from Sinai. So the Gemara, Moshe heard this, Nisyash V'daita, he calmed down. This is the story in the Gemara. When one reads the story, the obvious question is, what happened? When Rabbi Akiva said, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, did that make Moshe Rabbeinu understand the whole lecture? No. He didn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So what occurred when he heard Rabbi Akiva saying, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai? So most people interpret it regularly. Moshe felt very bad. Rabbi Akiva is saying things, I don't even understand it. A whole new Torah, a whole new depth that I don't understand. It affected Moshe in a negative way. He felt inferior, perhaps. Then when Moshe heard, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, it all came from me. Suddenly he felt happy again. How do we reconcile this with Moshe Rabbeinu's legendary humbleness the Gemara describes in Parshas Baal Eischa, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'id Mikala Adam Asher Apnei Adama. Moshe was the most humble man, so he was sitting at a lecture and he didn't understand. And only when he heard that ultimately Rabbi Akiva's source is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, was Moshe happy. It's not that he was happy because he understood a word of Torah. He still didn't understand. So what was he content about? That ultimately he gets the credit. Why was that so important? And if it was not Allah L'Moshe Mesinai. Furthermore, Chassidus explains, the question is, how could Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu was humble before every human being living on earth? What does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know who he was. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at another Jew. He knew, I'm the one who was chosen by Hashem to take the Jewish people out of Egypt to split the sea. I'm the one who gave the world the Torah, who gave the world the divine blueprint. I'm the one who speaks to Hashem face to face. What does it mean Moshe was humbled before every man? So Chassidus explains, the Alter Rebbe explains in a discourse, you have to understand what the humbleness means. Humbleness does not mean you create a lie in your mind. If you're tall, you say you're short. If it's day, you say it's night. If you're wise, you say you're stupid. That's not humbleness. It's a fantasy. It's an illusion. That's false humility. Humbleness means you know your power, and you know your personality, and you know your strength. But Moshe Rabbeinu thought, and he knew, that his great superior qualities were not created and generated through his own efforts and his own initiative. Hashem granted him a unique soul, a special soul, and that's why he can rise to such high spiritual levels. And Moshe Rabbeinu thought perhaps if Hashem would have given those same spiritual powers to another human being, that man might have maximized them to a greater extent even than myself, and might have risen even to greater levels. So he looked at another human being who in his behavior and in his level was much inferior to him. But Moshe Rabbeinu felt humble before this human being, because he couldn't say to himself, I am higher, I am superior, I received what I have as a gift. Hashem gave me special talents, he gave me special powers, he gave me a special sensitivity, a unique soul, and I maximize it to a certain level. Maybe if this man would have had the same gifts, he would have been on the same level, he might have been much greater than me. And that was what characterized Moshe Rabbeinu's humbleness. Now suddenly, for the first time in history, Moshe Rabbeinu experienced such a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu watches Rabbi Akiva. He observes a person whose spiritual wisdom transcends his own. So Moshe Rabbeinu should say, yeah, great, wow. Here is a man who Hashem gave a greater gift, or perhaps the same gift, and he maximized it even more. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu's attitude? Toshash koichi, he couldn't find himself. He lost himself in the process. He couldn't come to terms with what was going on. Why not? And only when he heard, this also came from Moshe Rabbeinu, did his spirit return to him. So the commentators struggle with this story to understand what's its meaning. The Maharal, for example, the Maharal of Prague in his Tiferes Yisrael has a whole explanation on it. But I want to share with you here the explanation of Chassidus on this issue. Briefly, it's late. This explanation was given by the Rebbe, by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, at a talk 35 years ago on Shabbos Shemini, Tovshin Chavov, 1966. One of the fundamental elements in Torah tradition and in Yiddishkeit is in the words of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, "Aseh Lecha Rav." A Jew needs a Rebbe. A Jew needs a genuine spiritual mentor, a master. Torah does not say that a person, any person, can rely on his own creativity, on his own genius, on his own brilliance, on his own spirituality and soul powers. A person needs Messiah, needs a Rebbe, tradition. A Rebbe who had a Rebbe who had a Rebbe. And so on and so forth, all the way back. Why? For two reasons. First of all, no person, as great as he or she is, can totally trust himself. We are all biased human beings. We have a divine soul and we have an animal soul. We have an ego. We have negative impulses, instincts, urges. We're not objective about our lives. And we're not objective about truth. We're all biased. Even a person who's a scholar and is a Talmud Chacham is still a human being, as the Yiddish expression goes, a mensch is not a mensch, a molda soich nisht. A man is only a human being, and sometimes not even that. How can one be secure that his ideology and his rulings and his traditions are true, are undiluted, are unbiased, reflect the divine wisdom? When a person has a Rebbe, a spiritual mentor, who guided him, who instructed him, or he guides him, who instructs him, he can be sure that he's on the right path. That's A. That's because of the human flaws. But there's a deeper point. This is true in every society and in every culture. A person needs a mentor. You need an objective opinion. Particularly when it comes to Torah, there's another consideration. Torah, by definition, is incomprehensible. Because Torah is infinite. Torah is from the Ein Sof that's from before, but beyond, it's beyond the Tzimtzum. And therefore the human mind is a product of the Tzimtzum. And Torah is Hashem's essential wisdom that's one with Him, as the Alter Rebbe keeps on reiterating in the Tanya. So by definition, the fact that we relate to Torah is a miraculous phenomenon, and it comes from the fact that Hashem, who transcends even infinity, took His infinite wisdom and compressed it within terms and ideas and realities that we can relate to. And therefore you could learn a Blad Gemara and learn it 10 times and learn it 20 times and learn it 100 times and learn it 200 times, and each time you'll find depth, and you can learn it for 80 years and still not scratch the surface of its depth. Why? Because Torah by definition is infinity that seems, that assumes the veneer of finiteness. So it's finite in the sense that we can understand it. You can understand it. Everybody can understand something of it, and nobody can understand all of it. Because it's not finite. It's infinite that assumed a veneer of finiteness through Hashem's infinite power, who can combine infinity and finiteness. And therefore, the key to success in Torah, the key to really internalizing the perspective of Torah, is not human creativity and genius and brilliance. That's effective. But the key is the ability to suspend your ego the ability to transcend my identity. That's why in halacha, Yirah Shamayim is so integral, fear of heaven. Why do we say a person can't pass in halacha if he's not a Yirah Shamayim? What does it have to do? He's a great mind. No. Halacha means you can discover the truth of Hashem's perspective. And for that, you have to be a receptacle to divine energy. And one is a receptacle of divine energy when he suspends his ego. And that's the power of the idea of a person having a Rebbe, that he always remains a humble student. He always recognizes his limitedness. And thus the commentators explain, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. It says, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. So the question is, it should have said, he didn't receive the Torah from Sinai, he received the Torah from Hashem. And he gave it to Yahushua. He received the Torah from Sinai and he gave it to Yahushua. Why is it important? So the commentators explain, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe learned how to receive Torah from the mountain, from Sinai. What was Sinai? Sinai was the lowest mountain. The Medrash says Sinai was Machich Mekol Torayu, was the lowest mountain. From all the mountains that wanted the Torah should be given on it, Sinai was the most inferior. From Sinai, Moshe learned how to accept Torah. To receive Torah, it's not important for you to be a tall mountain. The key ingredient to become a receptacle for Torah is not the brilliant, ingenious, intellectual qualities that the human mind, the brain possesses. The main foundation to receive Torah is that the person should be like Har Sinai. The person should be able to surrender his ego, even his mind, even his identity, to a Rebbe, to a mentor, to a truth that transcends him. Suddenly, Moshe Rabbeinu was observing Rabbi Akiva. The Rebbe said, Moshe is looking at Rabbi Akiva. He didn't know what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. You think the guy near him on the 18th row had a better training than Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was trained by Hashem. What was Rabbi Akiva saying? Rabbi Akiva was saying, a Reb Chaim, a Chidush Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi, a brisker word that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't used to. What Rabbi Akiva was giving a kvetch in a Rajba or in a Rabbi Akiva Eger that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't comprehend. Rabbi Akiva revealed a new intellectual approach to Torah scholarship that Moshe Rabbeinu thought, and he says, this does senseless. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a kid in intellectual creativity. It all came from Moshe Rabbeinu. What exactly was there? If nobody understood Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva should have been quiet. A good teacher, if nobody understands him, is quiet. A good teacher doesn't act in the fashion of Ayra Seviv Kalam. Acts in the way of Mamala Kalaman. Sayyid Kalaman is not a teacher. Sayyid Kalaman is a god. Teacher has to relate to the audience. So if the students could understand, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand. What perturbed Moshe Rabbeinu was something else. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Rabbi Akiva's words. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw in the Rebbe's expression that it's Chachma D'Gdusha. It's not unholy wisdom. It's holy wisdom. It's Torah wisdom. It's divine wisdom. But looking at Rabbi Akiva, he saw Rabbi Akiva's assertive personality. Tashash Kleichai. Moshe Rabbeinu could not comprehend how is it that Rabbi Akiva could be a vessel for the truths of Torah when what he can appreciate was only Rabbi Akiva's assertive personality. When Moshe Rabbeinu was watching Rabbi Akiva, he saw Rabbi Akiva, the brilliant giant. He saw Rabbi Akiva, the seldom phenomenon. He saw Rabbi Akiva, the masterful orator. He saw that Rabbi Akiva, the most creative mind of his generation. He saw Rabbi Akiva, the Gaon HaGaonim. A titanic brain, a charismatic teacher, a brilliant communicator. But he didn't see Rabbi Akiva the chassid, Rabbi Akiva the student, Rabbi Akiva the recipient. And this destroyed Moshe Rabbeinu's perception. Moshe Rabbeinu always knew the most crucial element in Torah was not one's oratory skills or one's intellectual brilliance. Moshe Rabbeinu himself can barely communicate. The key ingredient in Torah was the person's bittul, his ability to surrender himself, to suspend his mind, to subdue his ego to something beyond himself. And here he saw a man who taught Torah, who understood that Torah better than Moshe Rabbeinu, and apparently he didn't possess that quality. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have heard the words and heard that it's not Torah, no. But Moshe Rabbeinu was Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it had the spark of Torah, and there's something of Torah and there's something of not Torah that can immediately be recognized by the sensitive spiritual soul. If it's Torah, it means it's an expression of divinity. It's a different type of wisdom.
That's true, but because Moshe Rabbeinu was still the receptor of being in that part of the twilight zone to go to see Rabbi Akiva, because God descended from there.
Right.
He was still Torah.
Right. So lo yahaya yada mahi maimrim. He couldn't, so to speak, accept. He couldn't tolerate. He couldn't digest and internalize what Rabbi Akiva was saying. That's what he couldn't understand. When he looks at Rabbi Akiva, he sees Rabbi Akiva projecting himself. He sees Rabbi Akiva radiating. He sees Rabbi Akiva's creativity and talent. That was one of a generation, or one in many generations. Kulei Alibud Rabbi Akiva. And Moshe couldn't digest this paradox. This is not the Mesinai.
So you understood what he was talking about.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure he understood God. I'm sure he revealed it to him later. But still, in this part of the Mishnah, who interpreted this part? I mean, what was it, the Rebbe? Or does this say that?
Yeah, just one second. Let me finish the idea. One second. Just one second, please. And then Rabbi Akiva came to a certain point. And they asked him, what's your source? Rabbi Minayin Lach. And Rabbi Akiva said, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, Nisyash V'dayte, his soul came back to him. The way the Rebbe expressed himself, when Moshe heard this, HaTedezen, he saw, Ah, Rabbi Akiva HaTarebbe. Rabbi Akiva has a Rebbe. Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Rabbi Akiva has a Rebbe. At the critical moment, how do you know this, Rabbi Akiva? He didn't say, I figured it out last night. At the critical moment, at the moment of truth, Rabbi Akiva, how do you know this? Where did you get it from? Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Rabbi Akiva has a Rebbe. Nisyash V'dayte. Have a good night, a wonderful week, and a freilich shvuas, kabbalas atayra b'simcha u'b'pnimius. Ja. Of course, Hashem is here. Hashem is everywhere. That the Rebbe's chiddush is in Eid is nishkin ben kinsim. So Eid is an inyan from Gilui. It's a different word. As the Gilui is da na even from Eisa. The Gilui from Alakos.
Can I ask you one question,
yes.
Rabbi? My name is Yossi.
That's one thing. In other words, that means Sof Kol Sof Kan Zechens Anherim Begilui in the Welt. If you say Eiden Sof is Begilui, Eiden Sof is here, Eiden is the Gilui, yeah? Eiden means Gilui. The Eberst himself is here. It's Bechal not an hour Gdara. When you say the Eiden is Begilui, it means it's revealed. Avada not revealed, not revealed that we comprehend it. But Eiden means Gilui. Hashem's revelation is here. So that means ultimately that it can... can be revealed in the world also.
That story you told.
Yes.
What it's saying is, I'm Yossi Marenfeld.
I'm Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson.
Ah.
Shalom Aleichem.
Can I ask you?
Jay.
Jay, what's your last name?
Papa.
Rabbi, can you just help me with one thing that you said? You mentioned about...
Welcome back.
That God gave certain divinenesses, but at the same time it was bad? I didn't understand.
It says in Tanya chapter 26 that... some people experience tragedies in life, bad fortune in life. So really, he says there, everything comes from Hashem, and Hashem is good. So why is it experienced as evil, as bad?
What is this?
It seems so bad, it seems destructive, it destroys people.
Yeah.
Illness, disease, loss, financial issues.
And it's all all of it's divine, but it comes out bad.
So Dr. Rebbe says, I mean, this is very hard to relate to. I don't like talking about it. But I just say what he says. Dr. Rebbe says it comes from a deeper, more intimate place of God.
You got to give me the address just for me to come back.
Here. You can always come. Erva's Davar. I once saw a whole chassidish pshat on it. I don't remember. I have to look it up. Very good, Yishka. Lechem.
And the lechem in one's rebel. What's the mitigating that he says the mechaya? Like he says, what is this?
Yeah, but there you could say it's moitzah pi Hashem. You could say avada, everything comes from Hashem's chayas, but it could be from the chayas that was contracted, and it's diluted, and that's what's in the lechem.
But I'm saying
is lav dafka eir hasayiv kolam. It's lav dafka eir in sof. It could be moitzah pi Hashem from the Asara Mamaris. You understand what I'm saying? Keser is above Chachma. Keser literally means the crown, just as a crown is above the brain, above the head. So Keser is above Chachma. Chassidus identifies it with Ratzon Shebenefesh, which is beyond wisdom. There's the soul, and the soul possesses wills, super rational desires, not based on logic, not since it makes sense. Intrinsic wills that the soul, different souls have certain desires or impulses or instincts that transcends intellect. So Ratzon is above Chachma, then comes Chachma, Bina, Das. And then there are emotions, and some emotions are produced by the intellect, and that's a Ratzon that comes after the intellect. But Ratzon is higher than the intellect. Ratzon is identified with Keser in psychology, in a person. So now the question is, if it's a Sfira or not. Some Kabbalim hold it's not a Sfira. It's above the Spheras. You can start with Chachma. You can start with Chachma, include Das, and then you have 10 spheres without it. Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayit, Yisayid, Malchus. You delete Das. If Keser is counted, Das is deleted. You'll see in all Svarim where Keser is counted, Das is out. It says, Kesha Keser Kim, Nimna, Eina, Das, Nimna, Kesha Das, Nimna, Eina, Keser, Nimna. Because they're similar. They're similar. What Das is consciously, Keser is superconsciously. Das takes an idea and applies it to yourself. To Midas. Above Chachma and Bina. To Ban?
Yeah.
It could be. You should make once a map of what goes on there. It'll be maybe easier, but how all the levels work. Maybe I'll do that. You mean what he said? Ban behemer rabba shalifnei hatzilus. That's keser, yeah. That's keser. Midas that are higher. What's a behemer? A behemer is not seichel. Behemer is midas, but it's a behemer that's higher than hatzilus. There's the behemer that's below chabad, and there's the behemer shalifnei hatzilus. That's shem ban. Rotson? So the question now is, Rotson is considered the deepest part of your life because it's not governed by any principles. You can't even change it. But is it inherent to the soul or not? So some of Kabbalim called Keser Ein Sof. They said when it says in Zoya that Ein Sof, it means Keser. The Ramak said, no me. Ein Sof is Hashem. And Keser is further than the Ein Sof, further than Keser is from Hanem Tzayim HaShvelim.
Can I interrupt, Rabbi?
That's a discussion. One sec, what is the second? The Ramak in his Sefer has a Shar, it's called Shar Im Ha Ein Sof Hu HaKeser. And he brings them a Kabbalah Muhel, that, and he refutes it. That the Ein Sof is not the Keser, the Ein Sof is the Ein Sof, and the Keser is... Ein Sof. Yeah, the word is a word in Zayar and in any other Kabbalistic text that precedes him. Before the Zayar, you have Svarim like the Heichalos, you have the Sefer HaBoyer, you have the Sefer Yetzirah, all Kabbalah that's before. So the question is, what do they mean by these terms? Keser is the crown that crowns the brain. It's superior to the brain. It precedes the brain. Ratzon is very deep. Ratzon doesn't have any principles. That's why it's called. That's why they think it's called Ein Sof, because Ratzon can't be limited by a person. It's indicative of your limitless quality. Ratzon is free. Ratzon doesn't have principles. Ratzon doesn't have rules. And since it doesn't make sense, therefore you don't want it. It doesn't have to do if it makes sense. This is who I am. So they said, by the Abish, the Keser, that's who he is. So the Ramak said, Hashem's Ratzon and who he is has nothing to do with each other.
Rabbi, I got to go with him.
Go ahead, yeah.
Who discovered the in the Mishnah of the analysis of that understanding where Moshe and
Yom Tov, it's a Talmud. The rabbis in Talmud Menachos.
It tells the whole story.
It's part of the oral tradition of Judaism.
But okay, another thing. But even by law, it says that we have to follow, leaders of the of Rebbe.
Chazal, Chachamim.
There are false leaders.
That's true. That's true. Of course. That's why you have to make sure that the Rebbe is a real Rebbe.
But suppose you have a leader that's not, who's blessed with certain things, and can you consider them like a rabbi too? If they put you on the right path?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, great rabbi. Now, one other thing. Can I get your address so I come back here? Rabbi Simon's my rabbi. He's a Lubavitch rabbi in Albany. He's a great rabbi.
I know him. I know him.
You know Rabbi Simon? Oh, wow.
How did you get here tonight?
My friend.
I'll give you the address. You have
thank you. Yeah, because you're a terrific. This is my place. I'm Kabbalah Yossi.
What's your This is 52nd Street and 16th Avenue, corner 16th Avenue.
You're a great rabbi. I'd like to get your name, too. My name is Yossi Marenfeld, and you really are terrific. Thank you.
Yossi Jacobson.
Yossi Jacobson.
Yossi.
He's Yossi, too?
Here.
Oh,
that's my name, yeah. Yosef Yitzchak, yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi. It's like a son. Thank you. And you too.
Pleasure
you.
Seeing you.
Right.
Yeah, likewise.
Great Yom Tov to you, Rabbi.
Likewise, thank you. No. It's who you are. That's the Vart. That's why it's so deep. Because your soul is different. Because your neshama is different. That's the nekud. That's how you know it's Ein Sof. Seichel, everybody is the same. The same svara that you understand, you can understand. The rotzen is different. Ein day is saying shavas and opinions, but if I say a svara, you'll understand it and you'll understand it. And you understand the same svara. There's no two tzoynes. If you want a piece of ice cream and you want a piece of ice cream, it's two separate things. Because this is you want it and this is you want it. Ratzin is you. You understand? It's the gavre, not the cheftze. In seichel, there's a cheftze. Ratzin doesn't recognize cheftze. Rachel, rachel. Avad, it's me understanding. But there's a certain cheftze. And the cheftze is identical. The svar is identical. Avad, if you'll say it over, you'll say it in these words. You'll say it in these words. But the Svara is identical. Well, when we say middas, it could be Dotson also. When we say middas, we're talking about middas that are generated by Seichel. But Dotson is called middas Shalomayelam HaSeichel.
So where are these generated from? Where is it generated
from? From the Nefesh.
The you
generates it. It could be from a previous kilgal also. Everybody has their nefesh. A nefesh has a shape. It has to do with where you nefesh. Not it stems from the Ein Sof. No, in Kabbalah. There's two things. There's a new and there's the Eberst. It's two. Nasa adam etzal meinik adam esayna, but it's not the same. Right, it's doing. It's nishtalshol, but it's pshnisht as al bazach. I'm saying you see in a person that the most the koyach, which is most ain't soft, is rotzen. It's not governed by limits. You can't make cheshbonis with rotzen, but it doesn't make sense. Rotzen doesn't care if it makes sense. It doesn't. Of course, every of course you can override your rotzen. You don't do it. And that's also your Ratzin. Yeah. Yeah. In Ratzin, for example, in Ratzin, if one detail is not fulfilled, the entire Ratzin was not fulfilled. Ratzin doesn't compartmentalize. The greatest thing and the smallest thing is the same. And if one detail of my Ratzin wasn't fulfilled, it's not like 99% was fulfilled. My Ratzin was not fulfilled. If it's a rational thing, so it's all in terms of value. So if you didn't do it 100%, you did it 99%. But Ratzin is not about value. It's about I wanted it, and I wanted this and not that. You know what I mean?
Why is it that you speak possessively about Ratzin? How can you say I want?
That's the thing. The question is, if how close is the want to the I? So the Ramak said, there's no, it's a very big difference. There's a disparity. But you could see.
Physically, that wouldn't say Ratzin
is distinct.
Ultimate.
You wouldn't say.
In
other words, there's an I and there's an I want.
Yeah, so clearly I wouldn't say this.
Fine, but that was the big shaila. Why would they care to say there's an Ein Sof higher than the Kasser? Would they care to say there's an Ein Sof higher? We'll still have to talk about this next week. Would they care to say there's an Ein Sof higher than the Kasser? There's two things. First of all, a grammatical issue. If you're talking about the Eberster himself, don't say Ein Sof, say Ein Leitchila. It's much greater compliment. Say he doesn't have a beginning is better than saying he doesn't have an end. No. Why? But what is Kabbalah if it wants to describe his limitless capacity? Ein L'Tchil is greater than Ein L'Sof. Huh?
Can
I relate to Ein L'Sof? In other words, the Kabbalah is an expression. Kol kadmai nitzchi v'loi kol nitzchi kadman. Every kadman, every being that was here forever, is automatically eternal. But not everything that's eternal was necessarily a kadman. Hashem can generate something that's eternal. And that's one shiloh. Second shiloh is they didn't want Ein Sof should be Hashem himself. Because the Mekabalim always try somehow to make sure that creation didn't affect the Eibushter. To detach it. No, this is fakert. This is fakert. He's saying that's ani mole. So if you say the Ratzin is responsible for creation, the Ratzin is Ein Sof, this is already geshmak. The Ramak said no, you can't say that. So he says the Ein Sof is Hashem, and Ratzin it comes from the Eibushter, but it's so far from the Ein Sof, further than Kesed is to a piece of dust. There's a greater distance between Kesed and Hashem, between Hashem's Ratzin and Hashem, than there is between Hashem's Ratzin and a piece of dust. Anuanim tzayim. It's a greater distance. Ad kedei kach. The Arizal said that to get from Ein Sof to Ratzin, you need a tzimtzum. It's not just, it's a major distance. Huh? Tzimtzum of siluk, through which the Ein Sof, so to speak, should be suspended, should be removed, and only then can there be an existence of Ratzin. Fine, okay, exactly what's pshat in him and him. No, because there's two things. First of all, the kav is only a kav. It's a kav of the light that was removed, but it's only a kav. It was removed. So it's only a kav of the light was removed from the chalo. There's now a chalo in the imagery of the tzimtzum. Now a ray of that light comes back into the chalo, right? But once the so first of all, it's only a kav. It's only a ray. So you'll say it's a one zillionth. It's enough to make it ilaval, but something else happens. The kav now goes into an empty space. And there, it changes totally. It's already a different type of air. That's what he's talking about. Once it reached an empty space, it's a different air. Because it's an air already that's existing in a reality where Hashem removed himself from. So it's a different type of air. Of course. It's in the Chalal. It comes into a new world. It's an ambassador to a new country. And this country has different rules. It tells the Eid, well, you're not the only thing here. There was a time when God was never here. Baruch. You know what I mean? You tell the Eidach, you tell the guy, come nirsh to mein shtetl and make revolutions here. There was a time when I lived without you. That's what the Chalal tells the Kav. The Chalal tells the Kav, very nice, Chashev, you have an important thing, I'll listen to you. But I existed here without you very nicely. You understand?
So yeah, don't be impressed so much of the Kav as much as the Simpson that created the Chalom.
So the Kav is already not the same Kav.
I got the Kav is used to make a Kesha.
But it's already not the same Kesha. And the Kav creates then the world, so it's a different type of Eid. So that's why the Kav can already tolerate a world. The Kav can't say, Sinner stuck in Welt. The Chalo says, Siddup Sanandazach. I'll put it to you in these terms. Before the Tzimtzum, if somebody said, there's something outside of the Eibushter, you looked at him, you said, you're a Meshuggener. You need to be institutionalized. After the Tzimtzum, even in the place of the Kav, when somebody says there's something outside of the Eibush there, he didn't say you're a Meshuggah, he said you're a liar. The big difference. Big difference. There's a difference between a meshugan and a liar. Meshugan is senseless. A liar makes sense. He's just lying. It's not true. The kaf says it's not true. Ein eid mulvade. But ich ken shefashtein ha-metzias. Ich ken shefashtein ha-metzias. So that oid is already has a different type of power. It can't. So Mela, the realities that it creates doesn't reflect the oid of you're not talking here in Gashmis, you're confusing with Gashmis, you're talking all in Havana. It's a different type of oid. That's what's Negeya. What do you want? You want in Gashmis, it's of course from that oid. It's a different type of oid. It can create different products. The product that it creates doesn't have to be a part of Bleakville. Have to be a part. That's the chiddush of Tzimtzum. Avad in the kav is Einaid Mulvade. But it's Einaid Mulvade, and you can understand something else also. If you say not Einaid Mulvade, you're lying. But you lie, it makes sense, yeah? Before the Tzimtzum, it wasn't vocabulary. No, come into the room and say, I just saw a building flying. Or there's 100 feet of snow outside. I'll say you're lying, but it makes sense. 100 feet of snow makes sense. Come into the room saying, you know what I saw? I saw nothing. There's no vocabulary in the dictionary. There's no sentence. I saw nothing. Right? Make up a word. It's not going to go through the spell check. Before Tzimtzum, no God, a Metzius outside of Hashem doesn't go through the spell check. There's no vocabulary for it. You can't talk about it. It's not a part of the vocabulary. I don't know what you're talking about. After the Tzimtzum, you can say it. It's not true. It's not felt. It's not experienced. But it's vocabulary. What created that? The Chalom. Hashem left. He left, so now is a new vocabulary. Oh, there's a Metzius of not him. Now there's a Metzius of not him. Even when he comes back, he's an Eirach. Not an oinach, but the idea of an oinach. What's an oinach? The besnush the einzik balabas, you know. Avad, I created you, but Tzimtzum kipshuta means the light is gone. That Rebbe saying nishtazay. Seviv Kalama doesn't mean it's not here. Seviv Kalama means it never left.
I don't understand Seviv Kalama that there's only one hashpa. It doesn't matter. It's different.
It's not what he says here.
They
said Deirim Semech is from a Malay. He doesn't say a Deirim Semech is from Seviv.
I was applying Deirim Semech to Levad. To Levad and Deirim Semech.
Oh, that was the thing. I didn't understand.
That's the idea. That's what the idea is saying. Right?
Oh, you thought he means only Daimim and Sameach. He means Chayis Ma'at Mizer, like, for example, Daimim and Sameach Levad. Oh, okay. On everything. It's going on Daimim and Sameach also, but as a Hemshech to Ma'at Mizer. An example of Matmazet. It's a higher chayes.
Why didn't this happen then? They held that Daimon Tzemeach had what type of godliness was there?
The Eberschner was removed himself from the world.
It was an entity.
He created the world through his aid, like he says also. But he himself removed himself. An Oy Metzumtzum Tmidi. Yeah, why not? Yeah, but that's not Oy Metzumtzum. He's not talking about that. And that's a Chanimale. It's a different vibe. Kipshuta. It says he removed himself, he removed himself. It's not felt. It's not mechadish. It's not Alter Rebbe's a chiddush. It's not Alter Rebbe's a chiddush. A lot of mekabalim held the same. The Vilna Gaon held that this pirush, nobody says Alter Rebbe's a chiddush. But he felt that those who are mefaders that way, it's a kfira. That's what dilug means. That's why the tzimtzum is called dilug. What's the difference between walking and jumping? When I'm walking, the second step can be a huge distance from the first step. Yeah, person who knows how to walk, one step is in, the next step is a chves, how far? Very far. But it's a continuation to the first step. There's a relationship. What's a jump? Because in walking, there was never a time when both legs were removed from the earth.
That's why it's called walking. But you don't say it's not like I'm walking, I'm not walking. I'm walking. That act.
I'm walking. I'm in a process. Obviously, I may end up in a very remote place from where I started, a place that's far and remote and distant and inferior. But it's connected to the first step. The millionth step is a connection to the connected to the first step. What's dilug? Dilug is a jump. There was a moment when both of my legs were removed. My new landing is not a continuum to my previous position on earth. I left.
Can we remove
that? 1 second. No. 1 second. Let's say yes. It's a separate thing. You can't mix the two. When you talk about tzimtzum, you have to talk about the tzimtzum. When you talk about not kipshuta, you... This tzimtzum, the Alter Rebbe is talking in Perek Mem Ches, and my Maamarim is called tzimtzum b'pchinas dilug, not b'pchinas hiluch. What does dilug mean? He jumps. He removes himself. Now when he lands again, it's not a continuation to the first position on earth. Before it was one position, now it's another position. What's pshat? The earth left the empty space. The earth left and an empty space was created. He didn't leave a little bit. Everything is gone. Now, he goes back on earth. He takes his light and he brings it back. But it's not a continuation to what was before. Before, when he was in the empty space, it's not like now when he was in the empty space. Before he was in the empty space, it wasn't shayach, another reality. And now when he comes back into the space, it's already different. His position is different. It's not the same light. So there's two pratim. First of all, it's only a kav. But that would still make it ilav al. It's a kav. And the kav with the chalal creates a new type of a... Chassidus comes and says the tzimtzum is not kipshuta. He never left. The cholol thinks he left. He never left. I don't want to use the word dimyon. Huh? No. Mitzad the cholol it left. Mitzad the perception of the world it left.
Of people
and of the highest worlds. Our relation it left. In the perception of the daimim, it left. Only our perception. Legabe it, he's begili. Not begili. The filstachnisht ayin sof. What do you feel? You feel your blood. What do you feel? That's from the chayis mitzumtzum. You feel your soul. You don't feel ayin sof. You feel ayin sof. You wouldn't be who you are, Bechlam. Our mind would feel it and soft.
Did they really mean something
Rav Dessler wants to say there's no machlekes.
So there was a change that happened, right?
Ah, you mean how it seems Ani Hashem Lo
Yishanisi. There was a change.
The machlekes about that also. It's a four-way machlekes. Rav Dessler, you know Rav Dessler? He tried to say there was no machlekes. I'm going to talk about it next week, I think. But the Rebbe was... Het zich machet gewen. I saw. He doesn't even mention the Rebbe's name there. He says a Gadol Echad is arguing with Rav Dessler, and but it's of course Rav Dessler is right. It's chlal not begeder. It was a huge machlekes. The Alter Rebbe writes himself. It's a machlekes. All the biggest makabalim write it. So Rav Dessler was a fine yid, but it wasn't the level of the Arizal of the Alter Rebbe of the Baal Shem Tov. I mean, you're talking about people who saw these things. At Machigwin, there's no machlekes between the Gaon and the Alter Rebbe. He wrote a letter to the Friedrich Rebbe. He wrote that in this time, it's important to make shalom between the Masnagdim and the Chassidim. Tafman is reading megen the machlekes. He has a point, as a gewandig gezegd, to make shalom between the Chassidim and the Masnagdim. But to say there was no machlekes about Tzimtzum is not true. The Vilna Gaon saw the Tanya, and he saw these prakim. But so what? They were passed away already. You should make a chedim on people who passed away. Also, v'zeim gehalten en cheder, fine, he held their koifrim, but Alter Rebbe made a shit out of it. And chesedus, this became a yisod and chesedus. It became a yisod and chesedus because it meant that ani Hashem loisha nisi right here. That's what it meant. Ben Hashem Echad, that creation didn't change anything. That from a higher perception, everything is. They felt also there's no. How do you say the Besakise? What says the Besakise? So Shemayim Vesaretz Ani Mali. What is it? Ein Sof. What says the Besakise? You're not allowed to think Teira in the Besakise. The Hebrews to ken that in Zion, you can't start the Teira. It was a big time in halacha. The Alter Rebbe said, "It's the time with halacha. It doesn't have to do the tzimtzum is a tzimtzum. Halacha deals in a post-tzimtzum world, not in a pre-tzimtzum world. We'll talk about it next week." Reb Chaim Volozhiner, writes. He's the biggest Talmud of the Gaon. He writes mamash like the Alter Rebbe, and he doesn't say as chik zechaf my Rebbe. Generation later, he writes mamash like the Alter Rebbe. It's, I mean, this is a big topic. It's just, I don't know. As long as it remains the minority, is good. The problem is if it becomes the majority. If it becomes the majority, as long as it's a minority, it's fine. If it's a rave, then it's time to close shop. Guten Yom Tov. Yishakayach. You sent like five, right?
Yeah, so it's related.
I still have to a durach, but Yishakayach.
I didn't open it because I have to see if I can open it.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is CHASSIDUS.com.